Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to this edition of the RTC Weekly Download. Today it's all British, and we're going to start off with an episode of Dad's Army called The Deadly Attachment from 1976.
We present Arthur Lowe, John LeMessurier, and Clive Dunn in Dad's Army. The Deadly Attachment, featuring John Lorre, Arnold Ridley, and Ian Lavender, with this week's guests, Frank Williams, Philip Maddock, Larry Martin, and Fraser Carr. Here is the news, and this is John Snagg reading it. The war in Europe continues unabated, as Hitler persists in his attempts to become its supreme master. As far as Britain is concerned, Adolf's latest threat of invasion is by parachute troops. In his headquarters at Walmington-on-Sea, Captain Mannering, the CO of the local Home Guard unit, is talking to his men about this very subject.
Now pay attention. Today, I received a new directive from GHQ regarding Nazi parachutists. They have come up with some useful advice which we should all carefully note.
Make sure you're not under him when he hits the ground.
That'll do, Walker. It's very important. Now, GHQ says that there is a danger that Home Guard units might confuse British pilots who have had to bail out with actual German parachute troops. So, to avoid confusion, a good point to remember is the fact that no British plane contains more than 6 men.
Especially after they've jumped out.
Especially after... Walker! Where was I? Ah, yes. If a Nazi parachutist is floating down with his hands up, would you think this was strange?
Not half as strange as if he was floating up with his hands down.
Yeah, Walker. I won't warn you again. Now, if the parachutist has his hands up, this does not necessarily mean that he's surrendering. He could have a grenade concealed in each hand. So watch it. Right. Pop into the office. Answer the phone.
Yes, Mr. Mannering.
By the way, Wilson.
Yes, sir.
While we're on the subject of grenades, have you primed our stock of Mills bombs?
Well, no, sir. You see, I
told you to do it yesterday. What good are they unprimed?
Oh, but it's awfully dangerous, sir.
War is awfully dangerous, Wilson. I want those bombs ready for instant use. See to it tonight.
Right, sir.
Mr. Mannering?
Yes?
You want it on the phone. It's GHQ. Very important.
Thank you, Pike. Take over, Wilson.
Very good, sir.
Captain Mannering here.
Ah, Mannering. Colonel Winters here, GHQ. Listen, I've got a very important job for you to do.
Oh, excellent, sir. What is it?
I've just had a message from the police. A fishing boat has picked up the captain of a U-boat and 7 members of his crew. They're down at the harbour now, locked in the hold.
By Jove, this is good news, sir.
Well, I want you to go and collect them and take them back to your place.
Oh. Well, I'm not really sure whether my wife Elizabeth would like that.
Oh. No. I don't mean your home, Mannering. I mean where you are now, your HQ. I'll send an armed escort over to collect them from you as soon as possible.
Oh, very good, sir. We'll take good care of them in the meantime.
Oh, they won't give you much trouble. They've been drifting about for 2 days in a rubber dinghy. Anyway, good luck.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye, sir. By Jove. Face to face with the enemy at last. Pay attention, everybody. Now, that call was to say that a fishing boat has picked up a U-boat crew, and we've been detailed to go down to the harbour and collect them.
Collect! Oh, Mr. Mannering, this is very exciting. I can't wait to get at them. I just fixed my bayonet, sir.
Now, put that bayonet away, Jones. Plenty of time for that when we get there.
Oh, I can't help it, sir. When I get even a whiff of action, I reach for my bayonet. It's second nature. I tell you, it's second nature.
Yes,
sir.
All right. Just fall the men in outside.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Look alive there. Fall in outside. Collect you back.
Wilson, Pike. You two stay here. While the rest of us go down to the harbour, I want you to prime all the grenades.
If you insist, sir.
I do. And what's more, I want it done by the time we get back with those jerrys.
Oh, that's not fair, Uncle Arthur. Hmm? I wanted to go down to the harbour and help collect the Germans.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, you, Frank, you can't, so just stop moaning, will you? Just come into the vicar's office, will you? And we'll make a start on the grenades.
Oh, all right, Uncle Arthur.
Okay, you guys, this is a showdown. Share this pineapple amongst you.
Frank, for goodness sake, be careful what you're doing with that grenade.
The Chicago gangsters used to call these pineapples, Uncle Arthur. I saw it in that film Scarface with Paul Mooney.
Yes, I don't care. You see, I don't care what the Chicago gangsters call them. Just be careful. They're very dangerous.
Oh, these are quite safe. They haven't been primed yet.
You know, I really don't like handling these detonators. I mean, they're so risky, you see. Oh, Lord, there are only two left in this box. Hmm? Wait a minute. There's another box here.
Yeah, but that label says dummy primers for trading purposes only. We don't want dummies. They're no good. Hey, look. Hey, there's another box of real ones at the back here.
Wait a minute, Frank. Wait, now look. How would it be if we were to put these dummies in the grenades instead of the real thing?
Mr. Manning would be awfully cross if he finds out.
Yes, but somehow I can't help thinking he'll be even more cross if we all get blown to Kingdom Come. What? Now, come on, let's get started.
Left, right, left. Come on now, handy hock. Keep them handy hocks. Left, right. Out.
All right, Jones. Put their hands down now.
Right, sir. Now listen, you lot. You can put your handies down. Come on, handies down. Lower than that. Come on in. That's better.
Permission to speak, sir?
Yeah.
The Germans' handies are now down, sir.
I can see that. Fraser.
How's that?
Get the Lewis gun. Set it up on the stage so that it has a clear sweep of the hall.
Aye, aye, sir.
Walker.
Yep.
Go and get the vicar's stepladder.
Right you are, Mr. Mannery.
Jones.
Yep.
Get those prisoners into a tight group in the middle of the hall.
Yes, sir. Right, sir. Come on, you lot. Come on now. Come along. Add the double in the huddle. Come on now.
Oh, hello, sir. You're back then. Did the Germans give you any trouble?
Not really, Wilson.
Ah.
But they're an ugly mob. Especially their captain, Muller. Have to watch him. He's a surly brute. He's done nothing else but sneer and smoke cigarettes.
Really? I wonder if he's got any to spare. I'm right out of it.
This isn't a cocktail party, Wilson. Did you and Pike prime those grenades?
Yeah, well, Mr. Manning, you see, we started...
Yeah, I can honestly say, sir, that all the grenades now have detonators in them.
Good. I'm very glad to hear it.
Mr. Manager, I wish to report that the German prisoners are now in a muddle in the middle of the hall. They're in a huddle in the middle of the hall.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, John. Just a minute. What's Walker doing chatting to them? Walker! I told you to go and get the vicar's steps.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Mr. Mannering. Just going. Now, don't forget, Fritz.
Yeah.
Sorry, mates. I'm in the market for purchasing Nazi daggers, swastikas, signed pictures of Adolf, that sort of thing, badges. I'll give you a good price, all right?
Walk. What do you think you're doing? Well, how dare you fraternize with the enemy? Go and get those steps.
I'm on my way, Mr. Mannering.
Here's the Lewis gun, sir. It's all loaded and ready.
Good. Set it up on the stage.
Very good, sir.
Permission to speak, sir?
Yes, Jones.
Well, sir, how about cutting the Germans' trouser buttons off, sir? Well, sir, if we cut their trouser buttons off and they try to run away, it will show at once that they are something unusual.
I am a captain with the German Navy. I refuse to let you drop my trousers.
All right, Captain Muller. I'll deal with it.
The Geneva Convention clearly states that prisoners of war will not be put into humiliating positions.
You've been in a humiliating position, mate. You get my bayonet up, you.
Don't you threaten me, you silly old fool.
I am not old. I am not
old. All right, Jones. And you, Captain Muller, go and stand with your men. And don't speak until you're spoken to.
I'm warning you, Captain.
You see, Wilson, that's the sort of insolent swine we're up against.
Yes, sir. His hair has got rather an abrupt manner, I know, but perhaps we ought to make allowances for him. After all, he is probably upset because we sank his submarine.
Where are these steps, Mr. Mannering?
Set them up over there by the main doors.
What's that?
We'll be able to keep an eye on the entire hall from the top of those. Pike!
Yes, Mr. Menreen?
Take your Tommy gun and climb onto the top of those steps.
Mr. Menreen, you know I don't like going up ladders. I get terrible verdigris.
Don't argue, boy. Get up there at once.
Oh, really? Why is it always me? You're always having to go up. Hey, it's ever so wobbly.
Do as you're told. Godfrey.
Did you call, sir?
Yes, Godfrey. Hold Pike's ladder.
Oh, yes, Mr. Menreen.
Now, what can that be?
Well, obviously, it's somebody bringing up, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Wilson. Take charge here.
Very good, sir. No.
Hello? Captain Mannering here.
Colonel Winters here, GHQ. Everything all right, Mannering?
Yes, thank you, sir. I've got the prisoners safe and sound. They're all ready for you to pick up.
Ah, that's just it. I'm afraid the escort won't be able to get over there till tomorrow morning.
You mean to say that we've got to look after them all night?
Sorry, can't do anything about it. Well, just give them a blanket each and bed them down. Oh, and give them something to eat, of course.
But we've only got our own sandwiches, Colonel.
Well, send out for some fish and chips.
Send up?
Well, see you get the money back. Be over about 8 in the morning. Cheerio.
Cheerio. Goodbye, sir. Fish and chips. Really? Wilson!
Yes, sir. Yes.
That was GHQ.
Oh.
The escort can't get over until the morning. The prisoners have got to be here all night. Right, now, you lot, pay attention.
Aye, goodness me, they're awfully well disciplined, sir.
Nothing of the sort. Slavish, blind obedience. Not like the cheerful, light-hearted discipline that you get with our own jolly Jack Tars.
Oh, really, sir?
These men are part of a nation of unthinking automatons, led by a lunatic who looks like Charlie Chaplin.
How dare you compare our glorious leader with that non-Aryan clown? You see this notebook, Captain? I am going to make a list of all your insults. Your name will go on this list. And when we win the war, you will be brought to account.
Put down what you like there. You're not going to win this war.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, oh, we no. are.
So while you work, Hitler is a twerp. He's off army, so is his army.
You, boy, your name will also go on the list. What is it?
Don't tell him, Pike.
So it is Pike. Thank you.
Not here, Captain Buller. I've had just about enough of this. Tell your men that they're going to be here all night and they better behave themselves. Now get on with it.
If you insist.
Uncle Al, sir.
What is it, Frank?
I don't think it's fair, my name going on the list. I was only joking.
Well, you should be more careful, you see, Frank. I mean, you know that the Germans haven't got a sense of humour.
But you said much worse things about Hitler. He said much worse things.
No. Frank. Be quiet. He'll hear you.
Do you think if you talk to him nicely, he'd take my name off the list?
I shouldn't think so for a moment.
Walk up.
Yes, Captain Manamy?
What time does the fish and chip shop shut?
10 o'clock, sir.
Ah, good. You'll just about make it. Okay. Here's 10 shillings. Go down and get some fish and chips for the prisoners.
Eh? Yeah, all right, sir.
Wilson! Jones! Come over here with me. I want to talk to you.
Right, sir.
Very good, Mr. Benjamin.
Right, then. That's 8 cod and chips.
I want place.
Okay, 7 cod, 1 place. Who wants vinegar? Can they put their hands up?
One moment. Beryl Essig.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 with vinegar. How many with salt?
Maybe salt.
1, 2, 3. Right. Now let's see if I've got this right. That's 4 with vinegar, 3 with salt.
What are you doing?
I was just taking the order, sir.
One thing more. I don't want any soggy chips. I want mine crisp and light brown.
How dare you? You listen to me. You'll have what you're given. And if I say you'll eat soggy chips, you'll eat soggy chips.
For goodness sake, 1 o'clock.
You think old man wouldn't let some of us stick it in Terrence to get some sleep, would you know?
It's no use, Jock. He won't let us take our eyes off those Germans for one second. He's become obsessed.
Hey, Captain Mannering.
Yes, Fraser.
I don't know if you've noticed, but yon Captain Muller never takes his eyes off you for a single moment. If you're to ask my opinion, I'd say he doesn't like you very much.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to be in your shoes, sir, if he was to turn the tables on us.
Don't worry, Walker. Not much chance of that. Ah, perhaps they've come for the prisoners after all.
Evening, everyone.
Oh, it's you, Vicar.
Good evening, Captain Mannering.
What on earth are you doing here at this time of night?
Well, I've just been over to Eastgate for a special midnight service.
Aye. Black Mass, I shouldn't have wondered.
Well, I thought I'd just drop these prayer books in as I was passing. It'll save me... Just a minute. Why has Mr. Jones got that big gun? And who are all those men?
Oh, don't worry about them. They're Nazi prisoners of war.
Oh, I see. Well, what was that you said?
These are German prisoners.
Oh, dear.
Nothing to worry about, Vicar. We've got everything under control.
What was that?
Look, sir, it's Captain Muller. He's lying on the floor.
I don't trust him, Wilson.
Well, we can't just leave him lying there.
Well, come on, Captain Mannering. Have you no milk of human kindness? The man may be German, but he's still somebody's son, you know.
There's some bicarbonate of soda in my Red Cross pack. If someone could undo the buckle for me.
Stay where you are, Godfrey.
Yeah, and don't you let go of this ladder, Mr. Godfrey. I'm still up here.
I think the man's fainted, sir.
Yes, certainly looks like it.
Well, are you going to have a look at him or not, Captain Mannering? What are you afraid of? They're only a few harmless German sailors.
Oh, very well. Stand back, you Germans. Let's have a look. I'll just undo his jacket. Seems to be breathing all right. I wonder if he's...
Ach, damn it!
Look out, sir. He's got your revolver.
Yes, that is so. And you will notice that it is pointing straight at the vicar's head.
Oh, dear. But do something, Captain Mannering.
No one move. The next move is mine. Holt's machining there.
Yeah, Captain.
Look out, Jones. They're after your Lewis gun.
Well, they're not going to have it, sir. We've only just been issued with it ourselves.
Somebody will get hurt.
It's all right, Mr. Wilson. I'm only going to frighten them. Whoa!
Oh, dear. Look at my roof.
Jones, do try to remember in future that firing over the enemy's head works better in the open air.
Captain Mannering, we've been outside and looked into your office through the window, but we can't see Muller or his men.
But they dashed in there during all that panic with our machine gun. If you include the vicar, whom they took as a hostage, there are 9 men in my office. Why on earth can't you see anybody?
They've drawn the curtains.
Oh, I see. What a damn cheek that Muller's got.
Well, how do you mean, sir?
Taking over my office like that.
Oh, yes. Mind you, Godfrey's rather relieved.
Oh, in what way?
Well, at first, he thought they'd requisitioned the gents.
Oh. Doesn't he ever think of anything else?
Captain Mannering, I didn't let the Germans have the machine gun, did I?
No, indeed you didn't, Jones.
I did you well, didn't I, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, you did indeed. You did awfully well, Jones.
Yes.
Very well indeed.
And you behaved well as well, yes. Mr. Wilson. You were very cool.
Yes. Oh, you think
were.
So? I'm so glad you thought that.
Hey, Captain Mannering.
Thank you.
When Sergeant Wilson and Corporal Jones have finished their Mutual Admiration Society, maybe you'd like to tell us what we're going to do now.
Yeah, we can't stand around here all night. And what about the vicar? I mean, what's going to happen to him?
Yeah. Remember, Captain Muller's still got your revolver, Mr. Mannering.
Ah, yes.
Captain, as you will see, I have your revolver pointed at the head of the vicar. Unless you agree to take me and my men back to the fishing boat so that we can cross to France, I will blow his brains out.
How dare you, you unspeakable swine?
I will give you 3 minutes to make up your mind. Otherwise, I carry out the execution.
Difficult situation, this.
Well, whatever happens, sir, we can't let them escape, sir. If they get back to France, they could get another submarine and start sinking our ships again.
It's really a case of one man's life against thousands, sir.
A terrible decision you've got to make, Captain Mannering. Still, you must admit, the vicar has been a bit of a nuisance at times, Jim. You have never really liked having to share his office, admit it, sir.
Yes, that's true. Oh, no. Must be some other way.
If only we could get your revolver away from him, Mr. Mannering.
Mr. Mannering?
Mm.
I saw a film once called Petrified Forest, and Humphrey Bogart was holding Leslie Howard at gunpoint in a cabin all night. And Leslie Howard kept quoting poetry and using long words. It didn't half upset Humphrey Bogart. Perhaps you could do the same, Mr. Mannering.
I missed that film. What happened to Leslie Howard?
He got shot.
Oh. Stupid boy.
I saw Freddie Bartholomew in David Copperfield, sir. There really wasn't anything in that.
Freddie Bartholomew. Wait a minute. David Copperfield. Mr. Micawber. Something's bound to turn up. That's it.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, we'll play along with them. We've got to go through the town to get to the harbour. Someone's bound to raise the alarm. It'll be light very soon now. I'll give him a shout. Can you hear me, Muller?
You sound just like Sandy Powell.
Can you hear me, Mother?
You finished, Pike?
No, I can do Enoch as well. Let me down!
Be quiet, boy! Muller?
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. We agree to your terms.
Here they come now, son. Look, Mr. Mannering, Muller's still holding the vicar at gunpoint with your revolver. Look at that.
Oh, please, Mr. Muller, do be careful what you're doing with that gun. So cold.
Ah, Captain. I'm glad you have come to your senses. Tell your young soldier to hand over the Tommy gun to my man.
Pike, do as he says.
Yes, Mr. Mannering.
Very sensible of you. And now, Captain, get one of your men to bring me a hand grenade and a piece of string.
Do as he says, Wilson.
Aye, sir.
I am going to give your men their rifles, but, of course, they have all been unloaded and the bayonets removed.
You won't get away with this, you know. We're bound to be spotted going through the town.
No one will interfere, Captain, because you will be escorting us with the empty rifles.
How are you going to make us do that?
Very simply. Ah, and here comes your sergeant with the hand grenade. Tell me, is it primed?
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, you don't mind if I make sure.
Hmm? By all means, carry on.
Yes, here you are. That looks all right. You old man.
Who, me?
Corporal, take off your belt and undo the back of your tunic.
I beg your pardon?
Do as I say. Remove your belt.
If he thinks my trousers are going to fall down, he's wrong. I've got me braces on.
Now watch carefully what I am doing. I have tied one end of the piece of string to the pin of your grenade. Now, Captain, just to make sure your behavior is correct, the old man will march in front of us with the grenade in the back of his trousers. One false move from anyone, and I will pull the string.
A terrible way to die.
Now listen to me. I'm the commanding officer here, and it's only right that I should have the grenade.
I will not allow you to have a bomb in your trousers, sir. It's not befitted to your station. It's different from me. I'm expandable, sir. Anyway, they can put 20 bombs in my trousers, another 20 in my tunic, and 3 more in my forage cap. But they still won't make me crack.
That's the spirit, Jones. There you are, Muller. How can you ever hope to beat us? You see the sort of men we breed in this country?
Yes, rather stupid ones.
You can sneer. But you've forgotten one thing, Captain.
What is that?
The Royal Navy. Royal Navy. You've got to cross 25 miles of water. You'll never make it.
I think we will, because all of you will be on the boat with me.
I'm sorry, I can't go on a boat. I always have to take seasickness pills now before I shall be ever so ill.
Oh, do be quiet, Frank.
You shall leave behind the old man with the red cross bag, and he can tell your Royal Navy that you are all with us on the boat. They will not fire on their own people.
Very clever, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so. Now, Captain, I'm going to unload your revolver there, and then you can have it back. After all, everything must look as right as possible.
Excuse me, but do you think I'll be back in time for the Harvest Festival? Because if not, I really ought to ring up the bishop before we go.
Out of the question. You're coming with us. And when we get to France, you will all be my prisoners. And then we shall open the little notebook and examine the list.
Oh, no. Uncle Arthur, it's not fair. Tell him I was only joking about Hitler. I didn't mean it. I didn't know Germans didn't have a sense of humour.
You will notice, Captain, we are almost at the harbour.
You won't get away with it.
I think I will.
Uncle Arthur? Hmm? If I was to tell Captain Muller that there's only a dummy detonator in the grenade, do you think he'd take my name off the list?
Oh, be quiet, Frank, please. I want to keep that to ourselves for the moment.
Hey, Captain Mannering, look. Is that no... It's Colonel Winters coming towards us, Maxwell.
You're right, Fraser, it is. Right, Muller, the game's up. What are you going to do now?
I am not going to do anything. You will bluff your way out.
Please, Captain Mannering, if you don't do as he says... He'll pull my string and I shall be no more.
Oh, no, he won't.
Oh, yes, I will.
Captain Mannering, do you hear that? He says he will.
Mannering!
Here comes your colonel. I'm warning you, Captain. Behave quite naturally.
Good morning, sir.
Where on earth are you taking the prisoners, Mannering?
Well, the fact is, sir,
We're going for a walk, sir.
That's right, sir. We're going down to the harbour. Being men of the sea, they like to have a good breeze up them.
Be very careful, Captain. Remember the grenade.
You know, I'm surprised at you, Mannering. Your men are usually so smartly turned out.
How do you mean, sir?
Well, why is Corporal Jones's tunic so untidy? And what's that great lump of string hanging down his back?
String, sir?
Yes, look, here.
Don't pull it.
What's this pin on the end?
No.
Oh, what on earth is going on?
Get it out, Jones.
I'm trying to, Mr. Mannering. I'm trying. It slipped down. Don't panic.
Excuse me, Colonel Winters. I wonder if I might borrow your revolver.
I wish someone would tell me what's going on.
Well, I'll explain in a moment, sir. Now, listen to me, you German chaps. Would you mind offering just getting up against that wall with your hands up? Otherwise, I might have to shoot you. That's better, yes.
Wait a minute. That grenade should have gone off long ago.
So it should. Oh, Mr. Mannering, I've been saved, sir. I've been saved.
Wilson, I thought I told you to prime those grenades.
I did, sir, with dummies.
Really? Why is it you never do as you... You've saved Jones' life.
Well, now perhaps you'll agree with me, sir. It really is awfully dangerous to keep the grenades primed.
All right, Wilson. You made your point. If you think I'm going to write it out 500 times, you're mistaken. Jones!
Yep.
Fall the men in. Stand by to escort the prisoners back to the church hall.
Roger. Right, fall in, men. Get the prisoners lined up. Look lively now.
Come on, Pike. Didn't you hear Corporal Jones?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing, boy?
I'm just tearing up Captain Muller's notebook. And there, I've snapped his pencil in two as well. When the war's over, I'm not having given my name to Herr Hitler, so there.
In that episode of Dad's Army, based on the original television series by Jimmy Perry and David Croft, you heard Arthur Lowe as Captain Mannering, John LeMessurier as Sergeant Wilson, Clive Dunn, Corporal Jones, John Lorry, Private Fraser, Arnold Ridley, Private Godfrey, Ian Lavender, Private Pike, Frank Williams, the Vicar, Philip Maddock, Captain Muller, Larry Martin, Private Walker, and Fraser Carr as Colonel Winters. The Deadly Attachment was adapted for radio by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles and produced by John...
Sorry about the ending, but that's the way it is on the recording. Okay, it's all British today, and we're going to move on to our next program, not a comedy. It's Dr. Finlay's Casebook from 1976, The Beautiful Lady.
Dr. Finlay's Casebook. We present Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullin as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Finlay, in another story about the characters created by A.J. Cronin. This week, The Beautiful Lady, written by Donald Bull.
Morning, Dr. Cameron.
A fine springy one, Mr. Carlyle. I see your men are busy with the sowing.
Yes, I'm putting barley down in the 60-acre. Are you walking to the house?
Why not? I don't get much chance to stretch my legs. You just say your mother has this persistent cough.
Oh, I don't think she ever properly threw off a cold this winter. She's not so young. Well, she will keep dosing herself with her own concoctions rather than calling the doctor.
Yeah. The house looks even more imposing from this angle.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Rachel, my wife, says it has to be the ugliest old pile in Scotland. Well, it's that, really. Her and Mother. If...
Two women in the house?
Oh, if they could just get on better. It's... What wears Mother down?
Your mother, forgive me, is a tough old lady. I don't doubt she wears harder than you think. An enticing smell.
Well, that's Mother's storeroom. She was decanting a bramble wine yesterday and hacking away till I persuaded her to go to bed. Oh, Rachel...
Good morning, Mrs. Carlyle.
Good morning, Doctor. Mother is knocking on the floor with a stick. She must have heard the car.
And then there's nothing wrong with her hearing, at least. I'll go up.
Shall I come with you, Doctor?
I think I know the way.
Oh, he doesn't think there can be much wrong with Mother.
Won't Mother be disappointed?
Oh, she doesn't get ill on purpose.
Just conveniently, when she wants something, when she thinks your wife is claiming too much of your attention.
You know she's old. But it's not easy for her to accept...
Nor is it for me. I'm not old. And I don't accept to be treated like a beggar who's here by her favour to moulder away in this prison. Pookie, you know what you promised.
Later. I promise we will.
It's always later. This house... I go mad in it.
Cough. Again. I don't think there's much wrong with your chest.
Did I say there was?
Your son feared there might be.
He sent for you. I didn't.
You don't mind him worrying about you? He's a good son.
There was a better.
I know. But he's good and he's not wrong. You have to watch your heart.
There's nothing wrong with my heart.
Did I say there was? It's just not 20 anymore. And it objects when its owner gets upset over... trivial things.
So she's been talking to you?
No. But it would be hard to miss the atmosphere in this house.
Willie's a fool. A chemist's daughter from Fife, when he could have had the pick of the land. She thought herself too good for her own kind, with her mincing lady ways and English airs. He found her on the shelf and should have left her there. She's no fit wife for our Carlyle, not the last of them.
He seems very fond of her.
He's calf sick. He's 40 and no sense. And why has she no child? They've been married a year.
No, that's not very long.
I might take to her if she had a child. But she's selfish. She's cheating him and me.
It seems to me that what you both need is a holiday from each other.
So she has been talking to you. That's what she wants. To get him away from here, where his duty is. She'd get him to sell Rannoch if she could. The house and land. She's come here to end us, to break us up that have held this place for 5 generations.
I was going to let you get up. But if you go on like that, I'll have to keep you in bed.
I'll keep myself where I please. You're like the rest. You've been taken by her big eyes and white face. I've no need of you. You can send your bill and stay away. I'll look after myself.
I only met her once at Lord Sinclair's do last Christmas.
A post, Doctor.
Thank you.
And if I can clear breakfast, I have to do out this room this morning.
We're here for your convenience, Janet. That's an old tale, a girl who could capture any man she wanted but found none to measure up to her romantic visions. Suddenly realizes she's in danger of being passed over and seizes the next man who offers. Which, unfortunately for the dynastic Mrs. Carlyle, happened to be her Willie.
Mrs. McKee says she's very pretty and civil, Doctor. That's the bailiff's wife at Rannoch, who has that peely-wally jimmy you've seen. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's certainly got a pair of eyes.
Well, don't let them rest too long on you, Dr. Finney.
Oh, I'm immune.
What?
Well, I'll be... But this is from her. Rachel Carlyle. She wants an appointment. Ah, sit down, Mrs. Carlyle.
Thank you.
Well, now, what can I do for you?
I don't know. It must be something you're terribly used to hearing. You'll just give me a tonic and a talking to.
Oh, maybe neither. What is it that's troubling you?
I'm not sleeping well, and when I eat anything, it seems to stick in my throat. I'm just not myself. I love reading, and now I can't keep my eyes on a page for more than a minute. I have to throw it aside and get up.
How long has it been like this?
Months. I'm perfectly well, I know it. It's what my mother-in-law would call nerves. What I need is a good dose of hard work. I've got a house, I've got a husband, I've got all a proper wife needs to keep her mind from foolish nonsense. Like living, like being oneself. Well, what's it to be? The tonic or the talking to?
There's no prospect of children yet.
I expected that. Of course, the final answer to all problems. That's another favourite sermon of my mother-in-law's. When am I going to do my duty to the family? As if I'd been brought in for breeding. Well, what's wrong with me? I've been taken to the bull, haven't I?
Mrs. Carlyle...
I'm sorry. How shocking. You see, I wasn't bred among these clods. I think I'm going mad.
I think you just need to talk.
You do understand. How strange. I knew I was right to come to you. When I met you that time at Lord Sinclair's, I thought, what is he doing in this galère? I read that somewhere.
It's Molière.
You see? How many people in 50 miles of here have even heard of Molière? Mm. Or anything, except potatoes and whiskey and childbirth. I think that was the beginning and end of everything for a woman.
But don't you want children?
I'm 32.
That's perfectly all right.
Oh, it isn't like that, just wanting.
I don't...
The husband plays some part, doesn't he?
I see. Well, that can often be put right.
Oh, I don't mean that. Perhaps it is. I don't know. It's... Well, love isn't like that. It shouldn't be clumsy and ugly and this...
It's not always as it's spoken of in poetry and novels, I grant you.
Why shouldn't it be? Don't you believe it could? Can?
For some. Perhaps. For a time.
Time is all I ask. Isn't there such a thing as an ideal? To touch that. Just once. With someone...
Yeah. Most women make the best of what they have.
Perhaps it depends on what they have.
Well, I don't think it's wise to dwell on that.
Why? Are you like the others, afraid?
Mrs. Carlyle... excuse me. I think you're sensible to seek advice.
You think I am ill, then? Should I have an examination?
Possibly from somebody else. I don't think I'm the right person to handle your case.
What a pity. It might have been a useful experience for you.
I suggest that Dr. Cameron...
You rang, Doctor?
Yes. Excuse me. Janet, I wonder if you'd mind. I can't find the Connachie file anywhere. It ought to be in the cabinet.
Oh, yes, Doctor. I'm sure I can lay my hand on it.
Oh, thanks. Now, would you like me to make an appointment for you then, Mrs. Carlyle, to see Dr. Cameron?
I'm sure that won't be necessary, Doctor. You've been immensely kind to listen. As you say, I must make the best of what I have.
Would you see Mrs. Carlyle out, Janet?
No, really, don't bother. Your fee.
Well, there's no fee. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm sorry about that, Janet.
Oh, I quite understand, Doctor. Especially as we haven't O'Connachie on our list.
Never let me see that woman again. She's a menace. She's capable of anything.
Mrs. McPhee, is that you? I almost didn't see you for the flowers.
Hey, Miss McPherson. Doesn't the kirk look beautiful for harvest? Are those your gladioli?
Well, Dr. Cameron's. He has the green fingers. Are those asters your arrangement?
Aye, but like you, they're not my growing. They're from the big house garden. The old lady likes to make an offering, but she doesn't get around now so much, poor soul. And the young one, well, have you heard?
No.
They're going away. Hare and Mr. Carlyle. On a fine gallivanting trip to the continent and I don't know what.
Oh.
You can say that. The how she's tugged him off the chain, I don't know. Between the pair of them, they've almost tugged the poor man to pieces. My husband says Mrs. Carlyle is looking for a buyer for the lower farm.
No. And what does the old lady say to that?
I'll die first. Why don't you kill me, the pair of you?
Oh, Mother!
And sell everything. Everything your family worked for.
But I'm not going to sell anything.
And throw it away on clothes for her back and trips to France where your poor brother died.
I promised her a honeymoon. She's waited nearly 2 years.
She's put the idea of selling land into your head.
It's not in my head. It's just a possibility, that's all. Well, we'll have to think of it someday.
And whose fault's that? She's made sure of it.
Will you stop, Mother? Nothing's done. Nothing's going to be done. We'll talk about this when we come back.
I'll be dead. I'm a sick, ill old woman. And you're leaving me on my own to die while she spends your money.
You're not sick and you won't die. You're as strong as a horse.
I've been through your suits, Willie. There's not one you can wear in London without being a laughing stock. You'll have to get some made there.
Yes, Rachel.
The Carlyle men have always had their suits made in Glasgow.
Yes, and they look it. I've set aside 2 travelling cases for you, Willie, but you'd better see if they're enough.
Yes, Rach.
Mother, I've asked McPhee to keep an eye on the painters while we're away. They'll start on the bedrooms first.
Since when were you mistress here to order what's done in my house?
I want it all finished by the time we come back.
You will not go. You can put your fancy dresses away.
We're leaving on Thursday as arranged.
You think you won? You can make Willie jump through your hoops. I'll show you can't. You'll do what I say. You won't go on your fling.
You can't stop this, Mother.
Can I not? You'll see. You'll see.
Mother, don't try to do anything to Willie. I warn you. I warn you.
Arden House?
I'm sorry to call you so late.
Who is that, please?
It's Carlyle.
Hmm?
It's my mother. She's taken ill.
The doctor's in bed. Is it serious?
Oh, could he come over now? I think she's dying.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe it. She was all right earlier. Then after supper, she said she felt queer. And she said she couldn't swallow and started to be sick. And then she got dizzy and couldn't speak properly and palpitations.
What did she eat?
It was, well, Rachel cooked. We all had it. Some meat pie. We all ate the same.
Was your mother in ordinary spirits? She hadn't been excited by anything?
Well, she and Rachel had words.
Worse than usual?
About our going away.
I did warn her not to excite herself. There was a heart weakness.
Why does she look so strange?
Yes. The effects of heart failure can take many forms.
Do you think Mother might have taken something?
You said she ate the same as you.
Well, she was well. Oh, she was always saying she was ill, but... Do you think we should have her examined?
I understand your distress, but...
Doctor, when I got back to her, after I'd called you, she tried to say something. She said... Well, Mother said... She did it. It was the last word she said.
You must have misheard. You told me she could hardly speak.
She said she did it.
Then it's clear what she meant. Your mother knew she was suffering a heart attack. She blamed it on the quarrel with your wife.
But...
You mustn't entertain this kind of madness, Carlisle. Try to be calm. This is a dreadful blow to you. Don't make it worse. Now I'll leave you. I'll send the certificate in the morning. Mrs. Carlisle, you have my deepest sympathy.
Thank you.
I'll see myself out. Good night.
Good night. Willie, I was listening to you. What did you say to him? What did you say? What are you thinking?
I am uneasy, Dr. Finley. The dryness of the mouth and skin, the cyanosis. They could be normal features.
Now, I think you should ask for a post-mortem.
I don't want two of these things in a small community.
The point is, if you don't, he might, the way you've described him.
I don't believe that an autopsy would come to a different conclusion.
But there's a chance. If Carlisle does take independent action and the PM finds something out of the way, my advice is to protect yourself.
Well, I think your advice is right. I'll get on to the fiscal. Janet, is Dr. Finley in surgery?
Yes, Doctor.
And I'll see you in a week's time, Mrs. Ellison.
Am I disturbing you?
No, that's all right. In a week, then. Goodbye. You got the result?
Yes. The pathologist found atropine in the body.
Atropine?
A very small quantity. But sufficient to cause the heart acceleration and the other symptoms. Sufficient for death.
Well, where did it come from?
I've no idea of that. It's not much used now.
Or how it got in her?
That will be a matter for the police to ascertain. I have to thank you for the advice you gave. Unfortunately, you were only too right.
Atropine? You might find that in an old-fashioned chemist.
I said it will be a matter for the police.
They want to look round the grounds. They're coming back.
What did they say to you?
They're trying to find out where Mother could have got the...
You let them into my bedroom.
They wanted to see everywhere. How could I refuse?
How dare you let them? What did they want? What did they ask?
They asked about your father's shop. They wondered if the drug could have come from there. What happened to all the stock when he died? And they asked who cooked Mother's meal and served it. They asked if there'd been any quarrelling. That's what they asked. That's what they asked. And they're coming back to ask more. They're searching the grounds. They'll search my house for a bottle. A small bottle, a bottle of poison.
You think?
I don't know what I think. Now just keep away. Keep away from me. Keep away.
Good morning. Oh. Mrs. Carlisle.
May I see Dr. Finley, please?
I'm sorry, he is not here just at the moment.
His car is obsolete.
I'm sorry. Would you like to make an appointment with Dr. Cameron?
It's all right, Janet. Come in, Mrs. Carlisle. Thank you, Janet.
As you please, Doctor.
Thank you.
Come into the living room, Mrs. Carlisle. Take it, this is not a professional visit.
I've come to you because I don't know where else... They think I killed her. They think I'm a poisoner. They've searched everywhere. They've questioned me. They know I used to help my father with his dispensing. They think I must have got the atropine from there. It's impossible. I don't even know what it is. He never kept any.
You could prove that. Do you have his old register?
I don't know. Everything was taken away, destroyed. It was 5 years ago.
Well, if you had nothing to do with all this, you've got nothing to fear.
If... You believe I could. I thought you'd understand. That's why I came here. I had to speak to somebody I knew. I can't speak to Willie. Not even to my husband.
Mrs. Carlisle, How can I help you?
I don't know. I don't know. Just by saying you don't believe it. Everybody hates me. I can feel it, they're pointing at me. What's that?
It's just whiskey. It'll calm you down.
Thank you. You're kind at any rate. Even if you don't believe me.
No, I didn't say that.
But you think I could do what they believe. I'll go now. It was nice of you to speak to me. I don't think your housekeeper approves.
I'll see you out.
Thank you. I suppose it's funny. They could hang me, couldn't they? By the neck. An interesting idea. But they would have to find that little bottle first, wouldn't they? Otherwise it would be, what do you call it? Not proven?
Goodbye, Mrs. Keller. Sorry, Janet.
Hey.
It's a frightened woman. And with reason. If they ever find that little bottle, if it exists...
Ghost, with them poking and spearing.
They're still searching.
Aye, and asking my husband and me what she used to do on her own, where she used to walk.
Aye.
I said she never came around the farm cottages. Mm-hmm. Not like the old lady. She always used to be visiting the old folk who worked for the family. She kept up the old ways.
Aye.
If somebody was ill, she'd bring invalid food she'd cooked herself. Aye, and her own medicines. She was a great one for that. Always saying she was a better doctor than any from Arden House.
Aww.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean.
She made her own medicines.
Oh, aye. From the herbs and stuff.
Aye.
She knew all about that. Wasn't a week before the poor thing died, she was round at my house with something for Jamie. She said it would work better than his father beating him.
Beating him?
Aye, well, you know how the men are. They lose patience. As if the poor laddie could help.
What is this, Janet? What are you talking about?
What I am talking about, Doctor, is that old Mrs. Carlyle did not like doctors.
Well, I know that.
And she used to make up these country medicines like she gave to young Jimmy McPhee.
What was wrong with young Jimmy?
It was just a little thing, Dr. Finlay. It is of no consequence.
Well, what was it?
If you must know, Doctor, it was bedwetting. And his father tried to break him of the habit by beating him, which was foolish.
And what did Mrs. Carlyle supply to cure it?
Mrs. McPhee says it was something she made up from her. And if you insist on knowing the name of it, it won't get you any further, because she called it Dryer Bed.
Dryer Bed? That's like the name for the dandelion.
Yes, it seems to ring a bell.
What are you looking for?
An engaging little book that I once picked up for one penny from an Edinburgh bookstall. Here we are. Herbs and Medicinal Plants of the Scottish Wayside by the Reverend J. Kelvin Lauderdale, 1893, with their common names and uses.
Mm-hmm.
And does the good man provide an index? He does. Dryer Bed, page 17. Page 17. Deadly nightshade, known vulgarly in certain parts as dryer bed from its supposed curative effect on nocturnal incontinence. He had a turn of phrase, the Reverend.
Deadly nightshade, but that's...
Belladonna. Atropa Belladonna. A beautiful lady. Rather an apt name in the circumstances.
Atropine? She could have got it from that, of course.
It depends whom you mean by she, Dr. Finlay. I wonder if the police have thought to look in old Mrs. Carlyle's still room. Yes, I think this is it. And here are one or two of the berries. Very poisonous. A lot of children and animals die of eating them.
I don't understand.
Don't you, Mr. Carlyle? I think I do. Did you not say that your mother was desperately anxious to prevent you and your wife going away on this delayed honeymoon?
Yes, but...
How did she always get her way with you in the past? when it was a struggle to win your attention from your wife. By falling ill. Or pretending to.
You think that she...
She wasn't a sick woman. She was hale for her age, with a slight heart weakness. She couldn't fool you any longer with pretending. I believe she deliberately made herself ill. She'd know the danger. She'd be careful. It wasn't a large dose. Enough, as she thought, to make her sick and frighten you. But she didn't reckon with her heart.
I must telephone the police.
I'll speak to the police. You'd be better engaged, Mr. Carlyle, in telling your wife.
Hello, Janet. Looks like spring again. Daffodils and flu.
Have you heard, Doctor? They've gone away.
Who've gone away?
The Carlyles, Mr. and Mrs. They left first thing this morning for the station in Gallagher's hired Daimler. Mrs. McPhee was telling me, first to London and then the continent with piles of baggage.
Oh, aye. Oh, well, good luck for some.
And that's not all. They put Rannoch up for sale, the house, the estate, the farms, everything.
I see. So she got her way.
I expect they live in London or somewhere with the money. I can't help thinking, Doctor. Well, all they decided, really, was that old Mrs. Carlyle could have taken the stuff herself.
No, that's something I don't want to think about, John.
And if someone someday were to find a little bottle...
You've got a gruesome mind, Janet. They've gone away. That's good enough. I've got to burn a candle and say a prayer.
What prayer, Doctor?
That they never find the bottle. And that that beautiful lady never comes back.
This week's story from Dr. Finlay's casebook was The Beautiful Lady by Donald Bull, featuring Andrew Cruikshank as Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Finlay. Rachel was played by Sandra Clark, Willie by Gordon Gardner, his mother by Catherine Page, and Mrs. McPhee by Irene Sutcliffe. The characters were created by A.J. Cronin and the play produced by Edward Taylor.
Well, we have one more show to do this week, and it is a comedy. It's The Navy Lark from 1959, and new at the helm.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Whilst we've all been paddling our tootsies at Penzance or licking cornets in Crackton, our island draft have been home on leave. However, all good things come to an end, and much to their various relatives' relief, our lot are on their way back to duty in the launch.
Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit it is, Mr. Phillips, sir.
Steady at that.
Steady at that, sir.
Should see the island any time now, Chief.
With all due respect, sir, I very much doubt it.
Huh? And why is that?
Because we're heading due north and the island due south. If we don't get on course soon, we'll run out of fuel.
That's ridiculous, Pertwee. I mean, when we left Pompey, we had plenty for the trip over.
Yeah, very likely, sir. But since then, we've been down to Selseyville, had a quick trip up Southampton Water, and been round the Isle of Wight twice.
Well, it's most peculiar. I mean, I could have sworn we had to turn left out of Portsmouth.
Yeah, I noticed, sir. You put your hand out and told me to change down.
Yes, that's right. It's not often I boob on seamanship.
Well, we're all right now, sir. Look, there's the island.
I So it is. I knew if we kept going long enough, we'd come across it. Home, sweet, chief.
What?
Isn't that a new jetty?
Yes, it is. Do you remember, sir, when you, clouted the old one with Trout Bridge? It sort of, sank.
So it did. Better be a bit more careful with this new one, eh?
Mark as well, sir, yeah.
I don't want to take any chances.
No, sir.
Quite cheap. Just to be on the safe side, I'd better bring the launch in myself.
Yeah, there might be a bit of... No, sir. Oh, no, sir. No, no, no. Don't do it, sir.
A left hand out of it.
No, no, look, sir. You know what you'll do. You know, you'll know...
Straighten her up.
No, blimey. Straighten her up a minute, you say.
Now, over a bit on the other lock.
Over a bit on the other lock it is, sir.
That's it. Now, coming in now. Easy. Easy. Easy.
Everybody down! Well, well, well. The master's own.
Heather, I'm back.
So I gathered. I heard you land. What were you trying to do? Get the launch up onto the parade ground?
Oh, very funny. If you must know, I just bumped the new jetty a bit.
Which bit?
Well, the bit that isn't there anymore. It was just a cross current.
Not half as cross as number one will be when he hears about it. Oh, by the way, did you know we've got a new number one?
Why? Was the old one worn out? I mean, what for?
Well, Lieutenant Price is out on loan to United States Navy.
Oh, bother, he's found the buzzer.
Well, quick, put your cap on straight. There, that's better. Now off you go, and remember, first impressions count.
Oh, buzzer. I wish somebody had short-circuited that thing.
Hurry up.
Come in.
Are you shorted circuit? I mean, you buzzed your shorts, sir? That is, you shot your kit. Sub-Lieutenant report, Philip Singh, sir.
Remarkable. Are you always like this?
Oh, rather, sir. Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes.
Oh, dear. Now I know what Lieutenant Price meant.
You do, sir?
Yes. He left a note in which he referred to you as the white man's burden.
Oh, did he really? Someone I call that Johnny Sporting Up. Oh, lummy. Have you met Heather, sir?
Oh, yes. We get on very well.
She's delightful. Very well?
Very well.
Oh. Very well, sir.
Miss Phillips, you're not by any chance engaged to Heather, are you?
Oh, no, sir. Not by any chance. We're just...
Oh, well, that's a relief. Every man for himself, then.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as that.
Well, I would. So it is. Understood?
Oh, very well, sir.
Well, now I'd better stroll across to the stores and meet Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
Meet him, sir? Have you made an appointment?
Mr. Phillips, I don't want to seem a busybody or a snob, but, since when did the First Lieutenant need an appointment to meet his Chief Petty Officer?
Well, sir, roughly ever since Pertwee became one.
Well, do you think it'd be all right if the old order changes, Mr. Phillips? Because I can assure you that I have no intention of giving Chief Petty Officer Pertwee or anyone else a sporting chance. With one possible exception, of course.
Me, sir?
No, me. Hello? Lieutenant Murray speaking.
Ah, this is Commander Burby, Inspecting Officer Portsmouth. I just wanted to welcome you aboard and tell you I shall be coming over to make a thorough inspection tomorrow. And heaven help the lot of you if anything's wrong.
I see. Very well, sir.
Very well.
Oh, shut up. What?
Nothing, sir. Thanks for the welcome. Very touching.
I'll see you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Yes, well, if there's to be an inspection, I think I'd better go and see Chief Petty Officer Pertwee at once, with or without an appointment.
Trotson? Trotson? You know what you are? You're a gigantic, gorging, great, greedy guy.
No, I'm not. It wasn't my fault.
Not your fault. Look, Johnson, is it or is it not understood that when you come home off leave, you bring Chief Petty Officer Pertwee a slab of your mum Min's homemade cake?
Yeah.
Right, then where is it?
It's all gone. It was a sort of Dundee cake.
Was it?
Yeah, a sponge with icing in it.
Sponge with icing in it? But how can a sponge cake be a Dundee? There's no such thing as a Dundee sponge cake with icing in it.
There is if that's where you left it on the train.
What do you mean left it on the train? Look, Johnson, where do you live?
At home.
No. Which town, you greaseball?
Plymouth, if you must know.
Look, if you were on your way to Portsmouth, what the blazes were you doing in Dundee?
I was sitting in the wrong train with my mum Min's homemade cake.
Then the wrong one of you got off.
Ah, well, you wouldn't have liked it anyway, Chief.
And why not, no, why not? Your mum Min's homemade cakes have always gone down elegant before.
Ah, well, this one wouldn't. It was a sort of over Dundee cake.
Over what?
An over Dundee cake. My mum Min burnt it.
There's no need to get hysterical about it. We've got work to do.
Yeah.
Now that our leave is over, Johnson, it's time for Pertwee's Wheels of Commerce to start bringing in the lorry again.
You've had that, you know. There's something you don't know.
Johnson, it's our time you tumbled. There's nothing Pertwee don't know. Including how to keep little steaming fat Johnsons grafting until they weigh 4 stone 6.
Oh, I see. You know about the new number one, then?
No. Of course I know. I was the first to hear about it. Know what, much?
We've got a new number one.
Come me, there's a liberty. Just as we've got the old one organised, the Lordship's place swaps. Look, Johnson. Johnson, my son. Listen, Fatty, get up. This is serious. The new number one would throw a proper spanner in Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's words.
Oh, what a shame.
Get back, you giggling podgy vulture. You know the first things number ones do, don't you? Inspect the stalls.
Won't take him long in here, will it? Yeah.
No, you have a port there, hardly. Half a dozen blankets, and that's about our lot.
Yeah. Well, I could spread them out a bit and make it look more.
Yeah, that's very helpful of you, Johnson. But how do you intend to spread 6 blankets about a bit?
Well, cut me in half and make 12.
Look, do me a favour. That's how we got 6. We're only 3 originally. Now, we shall have to get some more gear over here before this new bloke starts snooping around.
Well, you'd better get a move on then. He's here.
What?
Yes.
Ah, good morning.
Call's open to ratings only. Good morning.
What's he like?
Persistent.
Now, look here.
Well. It's you, sir. Well. We've no idea, have we, Johnson? No idea. Fancy that. Well. Come in, sir. Welcome.
That's better. My name's Murray. I'm your new number one.
Yes, I had heard.
Have you really? Well, after all I've heard about you so far, Chief, that hardly surprises me. In case you were not aware of it, I can assure you that your name is spoken in hushed tones of reverence and admiration throughout the entire Navy.
Not by me, it's not.
Watch it. Watch it, or Humpty Dumpty is due for another dirty great ball.
Well, I just thought I ought to warn you both that a Commander... Povey, is that his name?
Yeah, it's one of them, yes.
Good, well, he's coming over to make an inspection tomorrow, and as this is the first time I shall be on the receiving end of his inspection, I felt it would be rather jolly if everything was in order.
Oh!
Something bothering you, Chief?
Well, sir, in a manner of speaking and without wishing to split hairs.
Not off.
A bit short notice, sir. I'm just coming back from leave. I mean, we haven't had time to check everything ourselves yet.
Haven't you? Strange. By the look of what's here, I should have thought you would have checked it from memory.
Oh, yes. Well, everything isn't exactly kept here, sir.
No. Oh, well, I'm sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know what I'll be doing.
What?
Cutting them 6 blankets in half, then cutting them 12 halves in...
Belt up!
Right, Chief. Do the best you can. Carry on, Chief.
Oh, that's it. Blimey, that's torn it. I've just remembered something.
What, Chief?
Our new jetty. That was.
Was, Chief?
Yeah, was. Mr. Phillips brought the launch in his customary manner. And the new jetty now looks like the fretwork on the front of an 1870 upright piano.
My mummin's got a fretwork front.
What?
On her upright piano. Only now. Only now it's not.
Not what?
Upright. One leg's come off. It's propped up with one of my mummin's Dundee cakes.
Yeah, all right.
Enough. It's too much. Now my mummin's got a piano with a bass higher than the treble.
Hello! Hello, listen here! I'm talking to you! Hello, I'm talking to you now! I've told you before! I don't want to know about your mummin's piano!
Neither did anyone else now. It's full of cake crumbs.
Help! Help! Now look, it's enough. Now look, see what you can do about grounding some stores while I nip down to the jetty and see about straightening it up before old Thundercats gets here.
Aye, aye, Chief.
Otherwise, we'll end up with a new Mr. Phillips, as well as a new number one.
And as I shall shortly be making a full report...
Making a full report. Not fool. 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 Oh, beg pardon, Commander Povey. I'm not really used to clerical work yet.
So I gathered. By the way you handled that pencil, I'd have thought you were a stoker.
I am.
Oh, really? Now, let's get on. Hello, Commander Povey speaking.
Hello, this is the Admiral here. I want to speak to Commander Povey.
Oh, how do you do, sir? This is Commander Povey.
What? Oh, well, see if you can find him for me, will you?
But this is Commander Povey.
Oh, never mind. You'll do. Where that chap Povey gets to is beyond me.
I'm here.
On the pier. Oh, well, good luck to him, then.
Oh, good grief. For the last time, sir, this is Commander Povey.
Oh, you're back, are you? You're not supposed to keep popping out for quick ones when you're on duty, you know. Looks bad, Povey.
Quite.
Tight? Already? You've only gone a few minutes. Well, look here, you better sleep it off, and in the meantime, put me on to Commander Povey, will you? Oh,
but, sir,
hello? Hello, Povey? What the blazes is going on?
Oh, I wish I knew.
Look, I've been wandering around up at Admiralty here. As far as I can see, there are naval stores on the move all over the thumping place.
What?
Extraordinary. They all seem to be heading for your island draft. Look into it, will you? We're being cleaned out up here.
With the utmost pleasure,
good.
Sir.
Goodbye, then. And tell that other idiot to take more water with it in future.
Hello.
No. Shall I reconnect you, sir?
No, enough is enough. I'm going to the island at once to see what they're up to.
But you're not due there until tomorrow, sir.
All the more reason why I should go now.
I say, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, how do you get on with the new number one?
Me? Oh, we get on very well.
Very well?
Very well.
Oh. Nice chap.
Terribly. We get on...
Very well, yes.
Leslie.
Hmm?
You wouldn't be a tiny bit jealous, would you?
To me? Jealous? Of course not. We get on very... do you mind changing the subject?
Certainly. How are things with the jetty?
Cool, I said, change the subject. Why pick on that one? Well, the chief's patching it up now. It'll be as good as new in no time.
Hello, main office.
Hello, Heather. Look, this is Chiefy. Is the pride of the service there?
He is. Hang on, it's the chief for you.
Thanks. Sub-Lieutenant, hang on, Chiefy. How's the jetty? All finished?
Well, if you mean done for, sir, yes. We've had it.
Well done, Chief. You've no idea how great... Had it? What do you mean, had it?
Well, let me put it this way, sir. If this was wartime and our jetty belonged to the enemy, and you'd done to it what you have done to it, our lot would have given you a flaming medal and you'd have been a national hero.
No, it was nothing. Anyone in my position would have done the same. Oh. Oh, Lord, can't one of your relatives help at all?
No, not just at the moment, sir. No, no. They're all rather busy moving stores, sir.
Oh, yes, of course, they would be. Oh, number one's buzzing. Do the best you can, Chief.
All right, sir.
Come in.
You buzzed, sir?
Ah, Mr. Philip, I've been having a look round this morning, and there seems to be a tremendous amount of activity going on by the jetty. Practically the entire draft seems to be either sawing, hammering, or gluing.
Oh, it must be Chief Petty Officer Pertwee's do-it-yourself class.
Yes, I thought it might be. I take it the subject this week is how to repair your own jetty after some idiot's taken a swipe at it with a launch.
Exactly, sir, and we've had it, because... Oh. Oh, sir... You've been peeping.
I'm afraid so, Mr. Phillips. And as a mere layman in these matters, I'd say that jetty is a write-off.
I'm afraid it is, sir. Given time, Pertwee could fix it.
Yes, given time, I imagine Pertwee could straighten the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Oh, yes, sir.
And if there'd been water around it, I imagine you'd have been the one who knocked it off center.
Well, accidents will happen.
Oh, they will, won't they? Well, now, as Commander Povey is due here tomorrow, I've been having a look through the files. And I find there's a signal ordering the frigate Trout Bridge to be repainted.
There is, huh?
There is. Mind you, it's dated 1954, but it does exist.
I don't quite follow you, sir.
Well, just a thought, Mr. Phillips, but I learnt very early in my career that if you can't repair damaged Admiralty property, hide it.
Hide it?
Yes. Now, Trout Bridge is anchored off shore, Crescent, but if she's tied up alongside the jetty, Mr. Phillips, for repainting, of course, it might well be that other eyes might not be able to see that she's not tied up to the jetty, but to a heap of firewood.
Oh, I see.
Never mind what you see, Mr. Phillips. Being new here, I'm more concerned with what Commander Povey doesn't see. Have Trout Bridge prepared at once.
Aye, aye, sir. It'll be a pleasure, sir. You know... I think we're going to get on very well, sir.
Very well, Mr.
Oh, very well, sir. Now, left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit it is, sir.
Now, watch the bonnet. Watch the...
Aye. Mr. Phillips, after listening to what you laughingly call navigation orders, it's no longer a surprise to me that you clouted the jetty.
Oh.
The only mystery is how you came to stop there. Why didn't you plow a ditch straight through the island out the other side?
Well, we hadn't got enough steam up.
I'm coming up with the jetty now, sir.
I trust you checked on the tide for clearance, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, rather, sir. The tide's up, sir.
Pretty odd. It didn't look like it.
Well, I've checked the tide tables, sir, and it's definitely up.
Blimey, we're aground. Mr. Phillips Soup, congratulations, you've gone abundant.
But I can't have. The table says the tide's up.
Then we must assume that the sea cannot read, Mr.
Bridge, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee speaking.
Engine room here, Chief.
Yep.
Who declared war?
Who declared what?
I said, who declared war?
Well, no one yet, but old Thundergut's about to. Here. What are you eating, Jock?
Cake.
Cake?
Hey, I found it in a train in Dundee.
Why, you thieving hound? That Johnson's mum means cake.
Is that? Well, she's a rotten kook. It's burnt.
Then stop doing us a favour, you human dustbin, and send out the crumbs.
Bridge, number one here.
Starboard, look out here, sir. Pompey launch approaching with Commander Povey aboard.
Povey? Gracious me, how very ill-timed. He's not supposed to be here till tomorrow.
Ahoy there, Trout Bridge. This is Commander Povey.
Quick, Mr. Phillips, are the guns loaded?
Rather, sir.
Then lesson two. If you can't hide damaged Admiralty property, lose it. Now, Trout Bridge is between Commander Povey and the jetty, so he can't see it. Good. Blast that jetty out of the water, Mr. Phillips.
What? But sir...
Don't argue, sink it!
Oh, jolly good. Chief, fire one.
Fire one it is, Pap!
What the blazes are you lunatics up to? I'm soaked!
Yeah, you fired the wrong way, so the jetty's the other side.
Silly of me, at the jetty, Chief. Fire two.
At the jetty, fire two it is, sir. Bullseye, we got it.
Hey, what are you doing? Where did that one go? I'll court-martial the lot of you.
I say, old Thundergut will have his launch over if he keeps jumping up and down like that.
Perhaps he's trying to see over the top of Trout Bridge and spot what we're firing at.
Well, even if he could jump that high, it wouldn't do him much good now, sir. The only thing between us and his shore is 10 tons of driftwood and a load of rusty nails and assorted sizes.
Really? Now I wonder where all that came from.
Lummy, how's that for a shocking memory? It's the jetty, sir. We just blew it up.
Jetty? Strange. I don't recall any jetty here, do you, Chief?
Well, only the one with jetty.
Oh.
No, now that you come to mention it, sir, I don't. No, not so much as a plank.
I didn't think you would.
What are you two talking about? Of course there was a jetty here. I mean, it was the new one. I just...
No! No, there wasn't, Mr. Phillips. No, sir. No, there wasn't. You're suffering from a slight mental aborigine, sir. Aren't you?
Am I really?
Yes, Mr. Phillips, you are.
Yes, but,
At least you'd better be.
Oh, he is, sir. He is. Even if I have to explain it to him for a week, he is.
No, I...
Send it. That means it'll be Commander Povey's word against ours that the new jetty was ever built.
Oh, yes, sir. So it will.
Oh, I see.
Blimey, came the dawn.
I can be pretty quick at times, you know.
No, sir, we didn't. Of course, there is a small matter, Mr. Murray, sir.
What's that?
Well, we're just a teeny-weeny bit of ground.
Hardly our fault, is it, Chief?
Isn't it, sir?
Well, of course not. Naturally, we have to comply with Admiralty orders to repaint Trout Bridge. And if their lordships had built the new jetty here, we shouldn't have had to come so close in shore.
Capsule! We've got a flaming genius aboard! Bearing in mind a certain amount of high-cost ingenuity that's been flying about on this bridge, I should like to take this opportunity of saying on behalf of the entire ship's company, welcome aboard, sir. Welcome. Here.
Thank you. I think we should all get on very well.
Yes, sir.
Very well.
That was Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips working their passage in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Commander Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Able Seaman Johnson was Ronnie Barker, Heather was Heather Chasen, the Admiral was Tenniel Evans, and a rating was played by Michael Bates. The recorded production was by Alastair Scott Johnston.
The Navy Lark was presented by the BBC.
I hope you enjoyed the All Brit special today, and we'll have another one in the future, but that's it for us for this week, and we'll be back next week with some more great old-time radio. Till then, it's Jim Dolan. Bye-bye.